This is World Cafe. My name is Raina Duris. It's important to get outside. You know that. But chances are, with your busy life, you don't spend as much time surrounded by nature as you might like to. If that sounds familiar, maybe today's session will motivate you. My morning jacket frontman, Jim James, and keyboardist, Beau Coster, will talk about finding balance between screen time and real life and the inspiration Jim found living amongst giant sequoia trees. You'll also hear the full band perform in live recordings made at RCA Studio A in Nashville. They'll play songs from their new self-titled album, beginning with Lucky to Be Alive, My Morning Jacket on World Cafe.
Well, technology came and stole my living again. Ain't nobody buying records no more. Well, they cut out all the bread that used to keep us fed. So thanks for coming to the show. You know I ain't gonna crawl and I ain't gonna beg. I'm gonna write my own rules for life. And so I head out on the road. You know we gonna make it work. I feel lucky to be alive. Alive. Strung out on the road. I get sick from the cold. I feel lucky. Life. Blasted in my brain, I get high and feel no pain. I feel lucky to be alive. Well, it's been getting out of hand, but I'll make a new plan. I feel lucky to be alive. Well, let's forget about the stress and just watch the sunset and feel lucky to be alive. Lucky, lucky. Lucky to be alive. Lucky, lucky, lucky to be alive. Oh, lucky, lucky, lucky to be alive. Oh, lucky, lucky, lucky to be alive. Lucky. Lucky, lucky to be alive. Oh, lucky, lucky. Here we go. Lucky to be alive. Alive. Come on, now. Good job.
You just heard My Morning Jacket performing a new one called Lucky to Be Alive. It's from their brand new self-titled album. And today I am joined by My Morning Jacket frontman Jim James and keyboardist Bo Koster. Bo, Jim, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
First, could I have each of you introduce yourselves so folks listening know whose voice is whose? Jim, you go first.
My name is Jim.
And my name is Bo.
Perfect. You did great on that.
That was beautiful.
So, you know, even though I understand you guys had mostly finished this new album before the pandemic hit, Jim, you and I spoke almost exactly a year ago, just about a year ago. And at that time, you told me you'd recorded this record, but you were holding on to it because you couldn't tour it. Could you take us back to those recording sessions in 2019? I know, Jim, you gave the band some instructions about how much gear to bring into the studio. What did you tell them?
Well, it was wild because we didn't know if we'd ever make another record again because we had been kind of apart, and you know, and then we had these shows that were really beautiful. So we were like, okay, let's get together and record. But I was just like, let's just use what's there. You know, I mean, bring something to be comfortable, bring a guitar you like, or, you know, for Bo, they had some cool keyboards there and stuff. So I was like, let's not stress. And let's not bring 40 guitars and 200 pedals and 18 amps. And, you know, like, let's just play what they have there and just have a good time. And, you know, because I don't, this is more like gear nerd stuff. But I mean, when you're in the studio, you get so, you know, your brain goes into this hyper focus thing. And you're like, maybe if I try out 18 more amps, I'll find that perfect tone. And it's just like, oh, so, yeah, it was a lot simpler this time.
So what was essential for you to have in there with you then? Like, what was in there that you used?
I mean, I just had like two guitars that I brought from my house, and they had this crazy amp that I ended up using. There was just like a, I mean, it wasn't crazy, but it was just like a Fender basement or something, like this bass head through just this old crappy, like, I don't even know what it was. It was just this giant speaker, and it just like, it sounded amazing. I was so thrilled with it.
And how about you, Bo? What were your essential items that you had in the studio?
Yeah, it was mostly just like the Hammond B3 organ that they had there, and my Rhodes from home, and a piano. I mean, that was basically it. But yeah, it was cool because the organ at the studio had like a special modification, so you could get sounds out of it that are quite a bit different than your typical organ. So that ends up all over the record, actually.
I'm speaking with Jim James and Bo Koster of My Morning Jacket on World Cafe today, but their new self-titled album. We're going to hear you perform a song from the new album called In Color next. So you're in the studio. You've got this live energy. You guys are all, you're like in there connecting with each other. I want to talk about how a song actually comes together from the beginning. So maybe, Jim, you could tell us where the seed of the song In Color came from to start off.
Well, yeah, it's funny because the seed, I mean, I had In Color kind of just as a simple little acoustic song. I really almost wanted it to just be like a nursery rhyme, you know, just about equality and about celebrating our differences and, you know, realizing that the rainbow of beings, you know, the rainbow of humanity and the rainbow of animals and nature and everything just is what makes life special. And let's celebrate it instead of fight about it, you know. And I've got a saying in my head, it's like, leave room for God. You know, like leave room for the spirit to enter the room, you know? So we kind of do this thing where we'll just play a song round and round and round, you know, for a while. So there is no beginning or end really to the song. So that's really fun too, because that provides moments where God can enter the room and put all this stuff in that we could have never dreamed of.
Yeah. I mean, Bo, is that how you think about it too? Like what's going through your head when you've got this sort of beginning of a song and you're kind of jamming on it like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we also kind of like when we're playing it over and over and over again, ideas pop up, you know, we're like, oh, what if we do this? What if we do that? You know, and that's kind of like God being in the room too, because our collective psyches are kind of like wrapping our heads around the song. And then I remember distinctly him coming into the studio saying, I had the weirdest dream about In Color.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard like the background vocals going like, In Color. And so like, that was kind of like a psychedelic moment with that song too.
I had this crazy dream about this riff. I was riding through Manhattan in a limousine, and a lot of terrible stuff happened in the dream that I shouldn't share with the listener. but that part was really cool. And I was like, whoa, this riff is beautiful.
That's so cool. Like, so when you have a dream like that, do you wake up and you just, what do you do with it?
I just
do you write
it down
or you sing it?
Yeah, I sing it into my voice memo. So somewhere back in my sleepy voice memos, you know, like there's a voice memo of me going, I had this, there goes bum, 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 income.
So that's how it started. And here's how it sounds now. It's My Morning Jacket performing In Color for World Cafe.
You gotta admit, it looks better in color. All the rainbow appears. You gotta believe, it sounds better in color. All the spectrum to hear. There's more to life than just black and white. So many shades in between. Yeah, there's more to life than what's yours or what's mine. Oh, and I wish everyone could agree. Thank you. belly sounds better in color. All the rainbow appears.
Performed live for World Cafe, that was In Color from My Morning Jacket. I'm joined by Jim James and Bo Koster of My Morning Jacket. You're performing live for us today in a pretty legendary space in Nashville, the historic RCA Studio A, where, you know, artists like the Beach Boys and Dolly Parton, Waylon Jennings, B.B. King, many, many people have recorded. Have you guys worked there before?
No. We came and visited once long ago. I think Ben Folds owned the studio for a while or something. So yeah. We came and saw it one time while he was here. But no, it's crazy being in these places. You know, it's like the you almost don't want to think about it, you know, because it's like it's terrifying when you think about who's been standing right where you're standing, you know. But it's also cool, and it's an honor, obviously.
I feel like there must be some really cool gear there that you were excited to like get your hands on.
That's one of the craziest things about these classic old studios is they change the gear. You know, like they take all the gear out that made all these classic records, you know, and whatever, that's nobody's fault that's there presently because somebody sold the gear, you know, whatever, 50 years ago. But it's like, that blows my mind. I've been lucky to come into like so many of these classic studios. The room's still the same, you know, and a lot of the things may be the same, but you walk into the control room, you're like, why did you all change the desk that you like recorded Pet Sounds on or whatever? You know, like, how did you need to improve the sound of this, you know, with this new high-tech console that doesn't sound nearly as good as the simple little thing they recorded Pet Sounds on?
Yeah, it's funny. They're just like operating like a regular studio. Just like, well, we got to upgrade the stuff.
Totally, yeah. It's wild.
So I'm speaking with My Morning Jacket on World Cafe. The new album is self-titled. It's your 9th studio album, and you've decided to go with self-titled, which I feel like 9 albums in, I have to ask, why was it time for a self-titled album? What's the significance?
I've just always loved the self-titled thing. You know, whenever I see a band's self-titled album, there's just something so powerful about that, something so cool about it. And also for us, like, we didn't know if we would make another record. So I thought it would be really cool just to have the record be our name, you know, like this is like that, let this be enough, you know, that we even made it to make another record. And also, especially after the pandemic and especially after all of the things that the world's going through, I thought it might hit people's minds easier in a clearer way to just be delivered this message in the music and not have a message come with the title, you know, because I feel like sometimes the title obviously makes you feel a certain way or makes you think a certain thing. And that's cool too. But for this one, I felt like at this moment in time, people are already so overloaded that I thought it might be nice to just see the My Morning Jacket if you're, you know, and not have another piece of information.
Yeah, I mean, after The Waterfall in 2015, you did take a long hiatus and didn't know, like you said, if you were going to make a record again. And then you did. And then you were forced to take basically another year of hiatus. And it's different when you're choosing to do something, and then when you have to do it. Did it make you more eager to get to play together? Maybe, Bo, you could answer that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we all have different feelings about like the time and stuff like that, depending on where our headspaces are at. But I feel like it's pretty healthy to take the time off of like touring, you know, because you have to like recharge your batteries. And I personally like needed more time off, you know, I wasn't ready to just like hit the road again, you know? So right. In a way I'm kind of like appreciative of the pandemic, cause I was able to kind of like fill my tank psychically. And so now I'm so excited to be out, you know. Mm-hmm. Just happy to be around the guys and, you know, doing what I'm good at and what I love, you know.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Bo Koster and Jim James of My Morning Jacket on World Cafe. The next song we're going to hear you perform live is one that I've played on the show. And the first time that I heard this, I leaned in because there were some lyrics that felt very relatable and very familiar. The song Regularly Scheduled Programming. And it was especially the line, screen time addiction replacing real life and love erasing forgiveness, which, you know, I think is extra relatable now because of the pandemic, physically separating us and making our screens this mediator to the outside world. But you wrote this song before the pandemic. So, Jim, what was it that got you thinking about this stuff? Was there something specific? Was it just where your head was at?
Yeah, I really struggle with this stuff. You know, I think we all do. I think it's like the, especially social media. You know, I think social media is a cool tool. You know, like if we all use social media for 5 minutes a day, you know, to kind of check in, see what's going on, see what, you know, because it's cool. You know, you find out albums have come out or shows are playing or, you know, there's a gathering or there's a whatever here or there. But we're addicted to it. And I feel like it's really killing us, you know, and I feel like the people have no mercy for each other anymore. You know, there's this idea that there are two sides. You know, it's hilarious when I keep thinking about this notion of there are two sides. It's like there's two basketball teams playing or something. There's liberals and conservatives. And it just is so ridiculous, you know, because everything is so much more in the middle. But it's like people are being duped. It's the classic divide and conquer techniques that work so well on people. And it's like we all need to wake up and see that this stuff is ruining our lives. It's destroying the world. It's ruining things politically. You know, like our politics are a joke now. You know, it's like another. It's like, it's just like if it wasn't so sad, it would be funny. But it's terrifying, you know, because we're seeing the results in climate change and we're seeing the results just in so many crazy terrible ways. And it's like, I think people, you know, when people have to look each other in the eye, I think they have a lot more mercy and a lot more forgiveness, and they can talk and meet in the middle. But with social media, it enables everybody to just be so cruel and so mean and just like, and nobody listens. That's the other funny thing too. Everybody's screaming into a vacuum. Everybody thinks with their tweets special or whatever, and it's going to change somebody's mind. But it's like, people are just yelling into the void. And there's this demon growing from it all that's getting bigger and bigger, and it's going to destroy us all if we don't learn to control it.
Yeah, I mean, the social media, it's almost like a misnomer because you might turn it on thinking, oh, I want to be social and make jokes and see what my friends are doing. And then you end up, I don't know about you guys, but I often end up feeling worse after I spend some time on like Twitter.
Yep, every single time.
Yeah, Jim had a great metaphor like years ago about the cell phone where he said, like, it's like we all went on a date with the cell phone and decided to get married after the first date and we're not allowed to get a divorce now. You know, it was like we all got married to this technology without really thinking about what was going to happen.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. We thought they were exciting at first and then got to know them. And if you're thinking that marriage metaphor.
Yeah. How do we get away from it? How do we, because there are great things about it, you know, and it's like, I personally am just trying to think of it more like a hammer. You know, if you need to hammer in a nail, you pick up the hammer and you hammer in the nail and then you put it down. You know, you don't keep hammering the wall until your whole house is filled with holes. You know, I feel like that's what we're doing with these cell phones. It's like, of course, they have brilliant things about them. And for me as a traveler, the map function alone, you know, that I can find a cool coffee shop to walk to or whatever that may be near me. You know, there's brilliant things about them, but it's like, how can we like not let it keep destroying everything?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I was saying this the other day to somebody, how it's like, well, I'm picking up my phone to pay my rent, get a work email, and then I'll get a notification that my mom is like, I love you, in the middle of it. And I'm like, my brain can't handle all of these conflicting messages at once.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So true.
It's an interesting song to put at the very beginning of the record. We're going to hear it in a second, but why did you want to make it the first song?
Well, I thought it was appropriate too, because our programming had been interrupted. You know, now we're back on the air. I always loved that when they used to say that on TV. No, we're sorry for this interruption. And now back to regularly scheduled programming. Yeah. So I thought it was kind of cool because the band had had a break and, you know, the band had been interrupted. So it felt nice to get back to the regularly scheduled programming.
Let's get back to it right now. Regularly scheduled programming. My Morning Jacket live for World Cafe.
Diamonds are growing in the garden. Raindrops are filling up the sea. Excuse me, you know I beg your pardon. this interruption. Now back to regularly scheduled programming.
My Morning Jacket, live for World Cafe, the song Regularly Scheduled Programming from their new self-titled album. Today, my guests are Jim James and Beau Coster of My Morning Jacket. Jim, you co-directed the music video for that song, and it includes all of you driving in a car, everyone is on screens and watching TV in the car, a big old CRT television in the car, and taking video and like selfies and stuff. It's obviously exaggerated in the video, but it is hard to live in modern life without all of these screens. So what do you do? Like, what do you, Jim James, do when you need a break from all of that stuff?
Well, I mean, I try to stay off that stuff. I canceled all of my subscriptions. I canceled my Netflix. I canceled my HBO. I canceled everything. And that doesn't mean that I don't enjoy a good film every now and again. You know, I'll still rent a movie or whatever. Like, I love the medium of film, and I love you know, there are great shows and stuff. So it's not like I'm saying that that stuff's destructive, but I do that. And I got off the social media stuff personally, you know, I mean, we still have social media accounts for the band and stuff like that. And I think those things are cool to, you know, announce messages or whatever. But, and really the thing I do most of all is just try to walk as much as I can in nature, you know, and just feel that spirit more than this, like these crazy electronic frequencies that are around us all the time. So yeah, I just try to walk as much as I can and read as much as I can. And you know, a lot of people know this about reading, but I've had this really beautiful experience reading the Chronicles of Narnia again as an adult, because I hadn't read I hadn't read it since I was like in fifth grade or whatever. And I just finished reading the Chronicles of Narnia, and I watched one of the movies. You know, they made those big budget Chronicles of Narnia movies or whatever. And the movie was terrible. It was like, I was like, this is like a nightmare. Because the power of my imagination, the world that I create in my head as I read the book, is so beautiful. And it's also so good for me, for my creativity. But when you watch the movie, you're seeing somebody else's creativity. You're seeing somebody else's idea of what they think this stuff should be. So I feel like as much as we can do as people to like, again, like get away from the screen and like read a book and turn on your mind, you know, like it literally turns on your mind and turns on your creativity in this really beautiful way.
Yeah. I absolutely found that during, especially, you know, during the lockdowns and stuff, picking up a book of fiction, nonfiction I love, but
yeah,
reading like a novel, it was a completely different feeling. I was like, thinking about stuff again. This is so exciting. But what about you? When you need a break from all of that stuff, what do you do?
I've been trying to allow myself to be bored, you know, instead of just trying to fill every moment with stimulation.
Yes.
Because I can kind of go from like practicing the piano to playing chess to like reading a book to watching something interesting, like a documentary. It's like constant stimulation. And I find that that makes me kind of like speedy and anxious. And I've found that if I just allow myself to be bored for a day, it really helps, because it's like almost like resets me. But it takes discipline, you know?
Yeah.
Put your phone down and be like, I'm not watching TV today. And that when I get that urge to be stimulated, I'm just not going to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's hard. Just got to be mindful, I guess, you know?
Jim, when we last spoke for the show, you talked about how you would go for nature walks. And you get this inspiration from nature, and there was a connectedness that you felt. Where was there any place specifically that you might go to find that feeling again, that feeling of connectedness and inspiration while you were working on this album?
Well, I mean, really, to me, it's like it's all based on what you can do, right? Because everybody's life's different and everybody has access to, you know, some people live in the middle of the city or some people live way out in the country. And so for me, really, it is because like if we're at the studio or something, I need to get out every couple hours, so I'll just go walk around the city, or, you know, if we're in the middle of New York City or whatever, just the nature, the breeze and the sunshine stuff really speak to me, and just finding a cool park or whatever. But then I had this experience in the pandemic, maybe like halfway through the OG portion of the pandemic. My buddy's family had this really cute little cabin out in the Sequoias in the Sierras in California. And I had never seen a Sequoia before. I had seen redwoods before, but we just had this really profound experience of spending time with these Sequoias and really feeling like just this sense of love from the universe and the sense of love from nature, and just like, you know, feeling like the fur, like the crazy bark of these giants, you know, that have been there for thousands of years. You know, there's this one called the stag tree, like that's like been there for 3,000, 4,000 years, you know, and you just realize, you're like, all of my concerns and all of my worries and all the things I think are so important are like nothing to this tree that stood here, literally just stood here and lived, you know. And it's like, how can I be more present like that tree? How can I stand here, like just live and be bored sometimes, but and realize that that can be one of the most beautiful things, you know, because so much can take place within. And then we had this really crazy experience later where wildfires swept through that area and destroyed so many of those sequoias, like the stag tree lived, but there's this beautiful grove near his family's cabin that was wrecked. Like the whole, we went there again in February after the fires, and it was, I mean, I wept. We walked through, it was like being on Mars. It was like one minute you're in the most beautiful forest, and the next minute you're in a charred nightmare realm, you know. And it's like, it was a, you know, a harsh reminder of all this stuff of climate change and this concept that nothing is forever, you know. Right when you meet a 2,000-year-old tree, you know, and you think, oh, I've met it, and then it's gone. So I keep trying to tell myself that nothing's promised, you know, tomorrow's never promised. And it's like, we just have to try to enjoy this moment as much as we can.
I think that leads us nicely into the last song we're going to hear, because it is a really positive one. It is called Love, Love, Love. And, you know, this album's been a long time coming. It's here, finally. Maybe both of you could answer this before we hear this song. What do you hope people will take from it? Bo, do you want to start?
I'm going to let Jim.
Okay.
That's too big.
No problem.
Oh, God. I mean, I just want people to love themselves. You know, that's kind of what Love, 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 the song's about, is just trying. It starts with you, you know, because all of us, we're no help to anybody else if we can't love ourselves, you know. And I think a lot of us, I know for me, being brought up in a certain religious way, there's this sense of martyrdom or whatever, you know, where you don't care about yourself and you got to serve others and you got to put everybody else first at your own expense. And obviously not that it's not good to take care of others and serve others, but I think, you need to take care of yourself too, and find that inner peace and that inner happiness and stand up for yourself, you know, because I think, somewhere along the way, there's this idea that I think got put into a lot of our heads that it wasn't okay to stand up for yourself, you know, or it wasn't okay to love yourself, or that if you loved yourself, you're conceited or you're, you know what I mean? It's like, I think we all need to work together for this idea of like, to take pride in yourself and love yourself for who you are and love your faults and love your strengths and love your weaknesses and then embrace that with your friends, you know, and take the time to name these things. I've been really trying to do that with all of my friends, like name how much I love them, you know, like name like, oh God, I love you so much. I love how you do this, or I love how you're honest with me, or I love how you listen to me. And just take that time to really be with each other.
Yeah. Make it specific. Don't just send a heart emoji to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's finish it off with Love, 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 a live performance from My Morning Jacket on World Cafe. Love.
Outside the door, that's all. Crawl. Well, there ain't no time like now. You gotta get up when you fall. That's all. Love, love, love. Love, love. The more you get, the more you get. Now go tell it to the world. Love, love. The more you get, the more you get. Now go tell it to the world. To the world.
Live for World Cafe, that was My Morning Jacket performing Love, Love, Love. It's from their new self-titled album. I've been talking to My Morning Jacket frontman Jim James and keyboardist Bo Koster. Jim and Bo, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
Great to talk to you and hopefully see you soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome. We'll be there soon.
Can't wait.
All right.
I'm Rena Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.